the grand finale. We coming through with the Madden family, and only the baddest athletes gonna survive. When you see four or five of my guys piling up on top of you in front of your eyes, feel the impact, dual shock starts to kick back. Hey yo, it's Madden 2001, you need to get that and feel like you in the game playing for real. It's like royalty, so nil.
It's like hot one, hot two.
NFL fans, after a one-week hiatus, welcome to This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, the Cowboy, and the three-man booth is intact. We apologize for missing last week. You can put that one squarely on the Cowboy's shoulders. Busy guy, no excuses. It is what it is. Given the results of the week, maybe we should just never do the show again, but that's neither here nor there. So I am joined in the three-man booth by my two favorite guys. First, John D'Amato, super fan of
Big Blue, and
the winning New York Giants. John?
Yeah, good to be back. I missed you guys. It's good. It's a rare good week for us to chop it up about the NFL.
And speaking of super fans from winning teams, Cowboy Senior, Patriots super fan, also a winner.
Amazingly, yes. And don't forget to mention the Bears with a big victory.
The Bears with a victory, and then
and
the other team.
My whole roar, let's roar spiel. Talk about putting the jinx on a team.
There you go. You turned let's roar into let's ride overnight.
Yeah, there you go. We're back to let's
but
ride.
But speaking of let's ride, the Broncos with a big victory as well. Let's ride. So really crazy week. So you can make a strong argument that those have coming into the week that so Carolina was on a bye, right? So I think you could make a pretty compelling case that those were the four worst teams in the NFL who were playing. Pretty compelling case, and they all won. So amazing, right? Good stuff. And why don't we start with starting New England? So this was a no hope game. I had no hope. I don't know about you, Senior, but I don't think objectively coming into the game, with how poorly the Patriots had been playing, there was any reason at all to, never mind a win, to expect them to even stay in the game with Buffalo, even with Buffalo having almost lost to the Giants the week before. Like, I mean, Buffalo is a non-pass interference call, a blown call away from having lost back-to-back to the Giants and the Pats. That's pretty ugly, isn't it, John?
Quite. All their devastating losses on defense are really starting to catch up to them. But you gotta give your guy credit. All your fans are trying to bury him, of course, putting it all on the quarterback, even though there's about 20 different things wrong with the Pats. But he had a phenomenal game and brought his team back. And even in that week before, in that loss to the Raiders, he threw a perfect ball right into the hands of Parker.
It was Devontae Parker.
Yeah, that if he would have caught it, they would have been another first down away from a game winning field goal. So he's Mac, despite being buried, that all your fans are always talking about who's going to be the quarterback next year and getting rid of him, but he's really playing well and played well in this game to bring him back. So that was quite a win for the.
He had a good game. I think to say he's played well this season is a stretch, but I do agree.
Not the season, definitely the past two games.
Yeah, I do agree that it's certainly their problems are not all on him. He's, as opposed to being, like the worst quarterback in the league, he's not that. He's just, I think, at this point, like a below average NFL quarterback. And with this roster, that's not going to, for them to be a real contender, I think you would need someone who's going to really, elevate the team around him, a la you know, Patrick, obviously, like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and guys like that do, right? Doesn't really matter who you put around them. They're going to succeed. Mac is not that guy. But this was a great win for the Pats. And Panic City in Buffalo, Senior, this is a couple. I mean, they're pretty, been pretty schizophrenic, but they're sitting at 4-3. Like I said, I mean, they really deserve to lose that game to the Giants. I mean, they were really bailed out, like, by Tyrod making that mistake at the end of the first half to cost the Giants 3 points, and then just a brutal no call on the last play of the game. It was just like obvious pass interference. Then they're sitting at, you know, they're sitting at 3-4 with back to back losses to teams like 30 and 31 in the power rankings. Panic button time, Senior, or is this just kind of how this team is?
Yeah, maybe, and maybe too early to say panic time, especially, you know, they caught a break with the Dolphins losing. So at 4-3, they're only one game out of first. Actually, the team that had the best week in the division last week is the Jets, right? They're on bye week, and the Dolphins and the Bills both lose. They're feeling pretty good at 3-3 right now. But yeah, the thing that I was most impressed with the Pets, and if we want to talk about Mac, I mean, as well as they played the whole game, you know, and I mean, things are bad, but we know they're not a contender, but as a fan, you're watching the game and you're excited, you know, it's going to be a win, and it's nice to watch them win. I don't have any delusions of grandeur that they're going to make the playoffs or anything. But I really had the feeling that when Buffalo scored and went ahead, that it's like, okay, they played well, but they just, even when they play well, they can't get over the top. And for Mac to drive, to put that drive together at the end was really super impressive. So kudos to him. Good for him. The Bills, who knows? You know, we're saying they're schizophrenic. Right now, this whole league is schizophrenic, right? I mean, just on our last podcast, after the 49ers just completely buried the Cowboys, we were like calling them, us and everybody else were calling them the best team in football, and we come back two weeks later and they lost two games in a row. It's like right now the NFL is really hard to figure out in general, and I wouldn't be panicking if I was a Buffalo fan. I wouldn't be feeling too good about those two games, but would you be surprised if they bounce back and win 3 or 4 in a row right now? I know they have injuries on their defense, but their offense is real good. And no, I wouldn't be panicking.
They have a quick turnaround here, playing on Thursday night. Baker's coming to town. And I mean, Tampa's not a bad team. I mean, Tampa is probably better than both the Patriots and the Giants, who have given the Bills fits the last 2 weeks.
Defensively, especially against the run. But I think Josh Allen can get some things done against them. You know, you can throw on them. And I think since our last show, nothing that bad, but I would say the Baker MVP talk has been tampered down a little bit.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a reach by me. I'll be the first to say it. You know, you miss all the shots you don't take, right? So, I think it's a tough game for Buffalo. On paper, I mean, it's pretty much like a must win for them, I would say, right? I mean, it's like a real sky is falling scenario if they lose at home to the Bucks after losing to the Pats. So I'm going to pick Buffalo, but mark this one down as wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if Baker goes in there and game manages Tampa Bay to a victory. Buffalo, mistake-prone team. Makes a couple of mistakes, but the official pick is Buffalo. John?
Yeah, I'll roll with the Bills too at home on a short week. The Bucks, that NFC South is a real mediocre division there. I think that the Bucks kind of just benefiting off of some wins in that and teams are kind of on their level of mediocrity. And the Bills should be able to come through here at home on a short week.
All right, in senior, you did pick the Bills, correct?
Like after the last 2 weeks, you would expect the Bills to come out at home with a sense of urgency. So I'm hoping that we've put the jinx on them. I'll be cheering like hell for the Bucks, but yeah, I think it's the Bills game.
All right. So now taking a look at some of the other action from this, a lot of bye week teams this week. But one game I'd like to discuss and a team I'd like to discuss, we had Pittsburgh going to the Rams for, as is the case in Los Angeles, generally for a home game for the Steelers. It's sad the way these, I don't know why these teams are in Los Angeles, because I mean, the place was like literally just full of Steelers fans. But the Steelers, probably their most complete performance of the season, their offense looked competent for most of the game this time, for the first time all year. They get a 24-17 victory, and don't look now, senior, but the Steelers, who, if you watch them play, are not impressive, excuse me, are 4-2. What make you of that?
I hate it. I don't think they're real good, and I don't like them. So I hate the fact that they're 4-2. And I know the Steelers somehow find ways to win games. I still don't think they're going to win that division. And the Ravens looked awful impressive last week, and I don't like them either. But yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna say they're gonna fall, and they're gonna be at best. Well, you can't be 500 anymore. At best, 9-8, 8-9 team. That's what where I see the Steelers falling.
That would be a real swerve. So Tomlin's never gone under 500, right? That's the stat.
So maybe he keeps it alive with a 9-8. I can't see them being a playoff team. There's just nothing about them I like. T.J. Watt. Great player on the defensive side. Their offense doesn't do anything to excite you, that's for sure. It's hard for my bias not to show up. You know, I just go like the Steelers, but 4-2. I mean, you got to admit, 4-2 sounds impressive, but the eye test, if you watch them, they're not 4-2. So, it's the freaking Steelers.
Hard-hitting analysis there, senior. So they do have a negative point differential by 24 points, which will tell you, like, that makes it look like a phantom 4-2. But they, you know, like the Vikings last year, right, where they kept on winning games that it didn't look like they should win. The Steelers have some of that going on. And the thing about the Steelers, John, is that they tend to get better as the season goes on. And like this start could very well have been 2-4, 1-5, the way they've played. So the fact they've been able to win and pull some games out of the fire, I think actually bodes pretty well for their playoff chances.
Yeah, this is about the first year, senior, about the last 4 years has predicted that Tomlin's streak will come to an end. That they would be under 500, but I think he's finally given up, and he realized that somehow they'll at least find a way to 9-8 at worst. But a lot of things he says are true. You know, they're definitely a mediocre talent, and you know, nothing sticks out. Pickett is just like he's just like, you know, 20 different quarterbacks that you mentioned that if you know he's relies on his team. He's not going to carry his team to victory. And you know, he's just got to be a game manager. The only thing special is Pickens, the wide receiver, but he can only do so much with the, you know, limited offense. And
Pickett does seem to have like a little bit of the clutch thing, though, which it's tough to quantify that, but he does seem to play better when the game's on the line.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to give these guys a chance. It's tough to judge, you know, these quarterbacks in a second year. you know, it used to be, you know, quarterbacks would sit 2 or 3 years, but now that they throw them right in the fire. So it's tough. You got to produce right away. So it's tough to do. You know, he's like all the other young quarterbacks. He does some good things and some bad things. So he's got to rely on the rest of the team, but that defense isn't, even with Watt, and they're not as dominating as they have been in the past. So they still kind of struggle. They were giving up a lot of yards to the Rams, but they pulled out the game. One thing they do have is Tomlin, top five coach and
great coach.
Yeah.
Right, and so Pittsburgh has Jacksonville this week. So I believe the game is in
Steelers
in Pittsburgh. 1 o'clock Sunday, Jacksonville coming off the mini bye, coming off what was looking like it was going to be an impressive Thursday night win in New Orleans. And then they inexplicably stopped playing defense. And it was a game that was real, really should not have been close, where they had to pull it out of the fire at the end. But to their credit, they did. So the Jags come in at 5-2, game and a half lead in the AFC South. And man, you know, on paper, maybe you like the Jags, but Pittsburgh at home, I don't love what I saw from the Jags defense against New Orleans. Cause Carr is like, I mean, to me, he looks pretty washed, and They let him get going. So if Carr can do some work there, you got to think Pickett's going to be able to do some work. And I can see Watt being pretty disruptive in this game. So I'm going to say the train keeps rolling. Steelers 24, Jacksonville 20. Senior.
Well, there won't be any jinx, because this isn't going to be unanimous. In all honesty, you know, that I agree with a lot of the things you said about that Jags performance, but for the most part this year, I like the way their defense has played, and they're running the ball. They're really getting ETN going. And I think Lawrence is, and those receivers, him and Ridley, that hasn't worked out so far, but I think that's going to start to click. And along with the other guys he has. And you talk about that Carr had the game. I mean, Carr, I believe he threw for like 305 yards, but he threw 51 passes. That's, you know, the defense obviously did something to force him to have to throw the ball that much. And generally, that's not going to get you a lot of wins. If your defense can force the other team to throw 51 passes, most of the time, that's a good formula for the defense and not for the offense. So I think the Jags are the better team. And even though it's in Pittsburgh, my God, I don't want to see them go to 5-2. And so go Jags. I picked the Jags to win by 10.
Okay. So senior with a double digit road victory for Jacksonville. And John, break that tie.
I usually side with the Steelers at home, but I'm going with the senior on this one. I like how the Jags are playing, and Lawrence under control. If he doesn't turn the ball over, I think it's a good look. It's a good spot for the Jags here to squeak out a victory.
All right, I'm alone on Tomlin Island, and that's not a bad place to be. Better than Baker MVP Island. All right, next up. So, John, the G-Men, valiant effort. We haven't had a show since the Buffalo game. So on our last show, sky was falling, rightly so. Things looking very bleak. Then the G-Men came out and gave a very spirited performance. Very spirited performance against Buffalo, where, again, a game they deserve to win. And then they came out this week and get a 14-7 victory against the Commanders, where, you know, the Giants defense, John, that's two games in a row that the defense has played well. Are you buying Are you buying this at all, that they can turn this season around, or more of an aberration?
I'm not really as far as turning around and get into six wins maybe, but not the 8 or 9 that it's going to take for the playoffs. But it is fueled by the improved defense. That was what's more than shocking. I mean, obviously the offensive ineptitude in the first few weeks, but also there was their defense was also shaky. But I guess that was, you know, due to a couple new additions and taking a while to get acclimated into the lineup. But now they seem to get settled in. Banks looks like an excellent first round pick at cornerback, and Okereke, the free agent linebacker, is making a lot of plays, and they're starting to get that pass rush rolling. And once you get that
linebacker is a good player, man.
Yeah, Okereke, yeah,
he's really good.
He's in on everything. He kind of last year when they played the Colts, and they kind of won like handily, but they noticed that he was in on defense. He was playing hard, you know, for a disastrous Colt team. And he was in on like every tackle. So they noticed that and they signed him. But when that pass rush gets rolling, especially in the fourth quarter, when you could keep coming at the quarterback, that's the keys to victory right there. But there's still the offensive line, they got guys coming back, and offensive line is still a disaster. There was too many players with like Washington, like Chase Young, and sweating. Those guys were just going unabated to the quarterback, without being blocked. It was ridiculous. For all the celebrating, they still only scored 14 and 9 points in the last two games. So I don't see too much of a turnaround there offensively, and they're going against one of the best defenses in the league this week. So I'm not too optimistic. I'd be picking the Jets this week.
Well, we're going to talk about that, John. So battle for New York. Jets are flying high, right? Like, I mean, Senior alluded to it earlier. They get the big win against Philly going into the bye, and, sitting at 3-3, and then things seem to be breaking pretty nice around them with both AFC East division rivals lose. So, and the schedule, like if you look at the schedule, it opens up a little bit for the Jets here, where there's a lot of winnable games here, and there is a potential path to the playoffs. So you have Giants, Chargers, Raiders, Bills, Miami, Atlanta, Houston, Miami. Then they close out Washington, Cleveland, New England. So there you're a good team. There's a lot of games there that you can win. It's not the murderer's row that they went through in weeks 1 through 6. With that said, right, if they're going to make a playoff push, if they are for real, this is a game they absolutely have to win, right? This is the Giants team. It's literally the lowest scoring offense in the whole NFL so far, right? The Jets have a good defense. The Giants defense is playing well, and I'm not like, I don't know how you could be, but I'm not 100% sold on Zach Wilson leading this offense yet. So this is a real tough game to call for me, and I'm going to wait for your picks, guys, before I give you mine. So see, John, it sounds like John thinks the Jets are going to get it done. So Senior, give us some unbiased down the middle analysis, as you're known for.
It is an interesting game, because I'll agree with you what you said. I'll take a combination of what John said and what you said. John talking about the Giants pass rush, and you talking about Zach Wilson. If they can get the pass rush going, you may get Zach may turn a couple over for you, and there's the Giants' chance to win. You win the battle of the turnovers, you can win the game. Of course, the Jets front and pass rush is ferocious, so they could force Tyrod into some turnovers too. That was another question I heard asked. Let me throw that one at John. John, you don't have to address it now, but when you talk, there are some people in the media. One more.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. I was dying to know.
That they are with Danny Dimes. And it's a legitimate question. There's no doubt.
Senior, can you repeat the point you cut out on us for a good 20 seconds or so?
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where I left. Okay. The point
people in
was,
the media.
Oh, are asking a question. And one of my favorite media people, Ryan Clark, asked it. And he said it's a legitimate question because they look better. Are the Giants better with Tyrod than they are with Danny Dimes? An interesting question. But anyway, all of these things being said, if I have to pick the game, I have to pick the Jets. They just have better personnel. But I don't see it as an impossible thing that the Giants get the pass rush going and turn Zach over a couple of times, take advantage of a short field. Their offensive line's been awful, but having Barkley back helps. He gives them a threat on offense, and they could win a low-scoring game. But just looking at the personnel on both teams, and you got to pick the Jets. But the other thing that would give you some hope for the Giants is the Jets did lose to the Pats. So I don't know. But, yeah, I hold a gun to my head. I got to pick a winner. Yeah, I picked the Jets to win by a touchdown. And the Giants will put up a fight. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, Jets by a touchdown. And, John, what do you think of the – are they better with – is the offense better with Tyrod?
Well, definitely. But the bottom line is there's still only 9 and 14 points.
Which is better
than 3 and 6 points, I guess. But but in all fairness, Saquon coming back and also it all depends on the offensive line. It's like that with all the teams in the league. You see at San Francisco, where Trent Williams goes down, Brock Purdy, all of a sudden, he's not Joe Montana. It's the Jalen Hurts versus the Jets. So Lane Johnson goes down, and all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball up. So a lot depends on your offensive line. Hopefully, Andrew Thomas comes back, and they get their offensive line situated and a little more respectable player out of the offense. But I would say that they're gonna roll with Taylor at least another week, and we'll see what happens.
All right, great analysis, guys. That's a great point, John, about offensive line injuries. I'm gonna go with the Giants here. Senior, you made a good point. You alluded to it. The game reminds me a bit of Pats Jets, and if we say that, how do those games go? Not in the Jets' favor, right? And there is a little bit of a big brother, little brother component here that exists in the Patriots Jets games too. So I'm going to go Giants in a defensive, not super watchable game. I'm going to say the Jets do not score an offensive touchdown, and the Giants win the game 13-6. In the battle for New York.
Wow, you guys, Zach hasn't turned the ball over. Zach Wilson hasn't turned the ball since that Patriot game. He's played a lot better. So
we shall see, John.
All right.
We shall see. I mean, it's just so at one point or another, the history comes into this too. And it tends to be when things are looking best, that's when kind of the kick to the private area comes. So I'm not rooting for it, but just objectively, this is kind of how things have gone, right?
I am. You may not be rooting for it, but I am.
You got to see, I try to keep it diplomatic here. I know that's not your style. All right. So another for our listeners, Justin Fields goes down and Tyson Bagent comes in and leads the Bears to a beatdown victory, 30-12 over the Vegas Raiders. Another sense, the Bears aren't are probably not going anywhere, but it is nice for them to be showing some life.
The Bears.
And their defense, don't look
Monsters
now.
Of the Midway.
But no, the Bears defense, after starting the year really, really, really bad, really, like really bad, has really been very good lately. So so they started the year 4 losses, culminating by giving up 31 points to Denver, which is about as bad as it gets on defense. Since then, 40-20 victory over the Commanders, 19-13 loss to the Vikings, which is a good offense. The Bears defense played good in that game, and now holding the Raiders to 12. So they're at 2-5, and in a scintillating Sunday night football matchup this week, you wonder what they're thinking sometimes with how they schedule these primetime games. But so they did good last week with Miami, Philly, and the Niners in Minnesota. Those are good games. Bears Chargers, not exactly Eagles Dolphins. The Chargers coming in a yet another loss. So, I mean, they're only a half a game better than the Bears, and that's because they've had their bye week, right? So Bears are 2-5. The Chargers are 2-4. The Chargers are a mess, and Brandon Staley should be fired. I mean, they're coming off a loss to the Chiefs where it kind of looked like it was going to be a shootout, and then the Chargers just, you know, kind of stopped scoring points. Like, they, to me, they're not a good team. I know it's like one of these teams where the parts look a lot better than the sum of the parts on the field. So Bagent versus Herbert at Los Angeles, which, as we discussed earlier, minimum 70% Bears fans at this game. Minimum. The Bears are a team that travels. There's a lot of transplants living in that area. Could be higher than 70%. So the whole place is going to be rooting for the Bears. And I think this is the game that gets Staley fired. So I'm going to go Bears, Tyson Bagent over Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Sunday night football, in a game that's not going to be a lot of fun to watch, but that the Chargers will figure out a way to blow. 20-17 Bears with at least one missed fourth down conversion for the Chargers. Senior.
You know, I'm so sick of picking the Chargers. Every time I pick them, they lose.
It's all they do is lose.
But the Bears not exactly impressive. I'm not impressive either. I know they played a great game last week, and their defense, which sucked, somehow looks good all of a sudden. It's a really hard game to pick, right? You kind of look at it. If you look at it talent-wise, you're saying, you got to pick the Chargers. But you know what? I'm two reasons. I'm sick of picking the Chargers and having them lose. And also, when you have a matchup that you find really hard to pick, I tend to go with the home team. So with the minimum 70% Bears fans in Los Angeles, I'm going to go with the home Los Angeles transplanted Chicago Bears. The Bears go to see if John makes it a clean sweep. I can't do it.
John, you have to pick the Chargers. We're going to jinx the freaking Bears if you don't.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Chargers on this one. But as much as we pile on Staley, I don't know if it's all him, but it's definitely starting to affect Mr. Fourth Down coach. It's definitely starting to affect Herbert, who's really dropped from kind of like a top five quarterback to maybe top 10 or whatever. He's definitely missing some throws, and the coach isn't the quarterback is regressing under the coach. That's another reason why. It should be
it's another one where I mean, Herbert's numbers look good, but you watch the games and it was the previous week in a game that they lost where he missed Keenan Allen twice.
Yeah.
On wide open, like 70-yard touchdowns, just completely missed him. Gave him no chance. It was it was against the Cowboys. They should have beat the Cowboys in that game. And yeah, he is falling off, John. But with all that said, I mean the Chargers are 8.5-point favorites in this game, which I think says more about lack of faith in the Bears than
Another thing we see a lot of these you know times where these unknown quarterbacks that nobody's ever seen play before, they come in and they have a hot first game, and then the second or third game they kind of fall off to the level of where they at, especially this guy Bajans for Division VI Shepherd University, whatever the hell he played. So
I mean he wasn't that great in the game, but he did enough. He didn't make mistakes, and they ran the ball. The Chargers defense sucks. That's the like the Bears, if they pound the rock, can keep the offense off the field.
Not to sound like a
broken record. That's another problem for the Chargers both ways. When you say their defense sucks, teams are able to run on them, and they don't run the ball. You know, they get no consistent running game going to support their quarterback. They're a team. When you look at some of the personnel they have, you think they should be good. You know, they have star power. They got some name players, but it just doesn't work.
It just goes to show it. It's like unless you're Mahomes or these top five quarters or all these other teams, if the quarterback just doesn't turn the ball over, manages the game, and the defense and the line and everybody comes together, you can still pull out a victory, because just about everybody's in the same boat unless you have a Mahomes or whatever, only those five elite, quarterbacks, only those teams. But
and I don't even know if it's five anymore, John.
It's more or less.
Less. I think
it's
less.
Exactly. We're seeing you see like her, guys like Hurts are starting to come down to earth. It's a
short list. Mahomes and Josh Allen, I think are on the list. Allen, he makes mistakes, but I mean he's, he'll get you there.
Burrow if he's healthy. Huh? Yeah.
But
Lamar.
Yeah.
When he's on, he's streaky. When he's on, like he was last week, he can lift you. Yeah. He's capable of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys like. Like Tua as an example, right? Feast against the bad teams, but turns into a bit of a pumpkin against their real defense. Like you've seen it a couple times now this year. So John, did you pick the Chargers?
Oh yes. Yes, definitely. In Staley, we trust.
All right. So Looking at the schedule this week, we do have a full slate, which is pretty cool. How about Cleveland at Seattle? So Cleveland, with a little help from the Zebras in the most unlikely shootout maybe in the history of the NFL, we had Minshew against arguably the best defense in football. Versus PJ Walker for the whole game. And given how wild the NFL is this year, we should have just expected that to be 39-38. But with that said, Cleveland gets the W. Miles Garrett is making a strong case for defensive player of the year. He was, even though they gave up all those points, he was all over the place in that game. PJ Walker, not great, but didn't kill them. So the Browns sitting at 4-2. We should talk about the $200 million man who, maybe I don't know if anyone will ever get a fully guaranteed contract in the NFL again after this debacle. I read somewhere, and I think I agree with it, that there's a pretty strong chance that this goes down as worse than the Herschel Walker trade. As far as worst trades in NFL history.
Especially when you look at the contract, that's what makes it so bad that they went that we thought it was crazy when they did it, that they made him the highest, the most guaranteed money in history. with the baggage he was coming in with. And boy, they are paying for it. And a telling fact in that game, he went out and they cleared him. The doctors cleared him to play. He cleared concussion protocol and they didn't put him back in.
Well, he said that he retweaked the shoulder, the rotator cuff.
If you want to believe that.
There's a strong Ben Simmons vibe here where I don't know that he wants to be on the field. He is you see some guys, right? Like Josh Allen as an example, Hurts is another example too, where, I mean, you gotta kill these guys to get them off the field. I saw Allen have to go into concussion, get checked for a concussion. He looked like Carl Lewis running the 100-yard, I'm sorry, the 100-meter dash into the tent and was out of there and missed like two plays. Deshaun, I don't know if it's the off the field stuff or what, but he doesn't look like he wants to play football. He didn't look like he wanted to play football last year, and he was awful last year, and they attributed it to rust. And he's been, arguably worse this year. He's had one good game against the hideous Titans pass defense that the three of us could go out there and, hit the post corner on. It's looking real disastrous. And with all, it's a real shame because I think if he's right with a real quarterback, they're a Super Bowl contender. And with him like this, I mean, PJ Walker is a limited guy. Maybe won't kill you, but it's tough to see them going too far. But John, do you agree with that? I know it's a tough analogy given this, what Ben Simmons did. Has done over the last few years, but that's really like the vibe I get. Like he does, maybe he doesn't want to be out there.
Yeah, but it's also a bad job by the coaching staff and management in general for letting all that get out there. They're pretty much saying that that the doctors haven't ruled him out. That it's his decision. They should kind of keep that under wraps. Kind of like have the fortress of solitude, like you guys have in New England, where. Where nothing gets by, whatever the coach says goes, and nobody questions it. They should keep all that, behind closed doors.
They should. There's probably a level of frustration there, given the contract that he demanded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it always comes down to the money. Sure,
it's a lot of money, and the fully guaranteed thing means. He's essentially Ben Simmons, right? He gets paid whether he plays or not. So anyway, it's a tough thing. And then the Seahawks, all of a sudden, half a game back in the NFC West to the floundering 49ers. The Seahawks coming off a nice solid win against the Cardinals, and they just keep chugging along here. The game's in Seattle. And I just, with the turmoil in the Browns at the quarterback position, I know PJ Walker beat San Francisco, which is an odd thing, right? So it's a tough thing to say, but I just don't see him going into Seattle with the 12th man and getting that done. So I like the Seahawks here. Senior.
Yeah, it is a really interesting game. It's another tough one to pick.
Winner of this game is 5-2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything you said about the Browns roster in general, if they get good quarterback play, they're as good as anybody, really. That defense is ferocious. And you talked about the game that Garrett had up. The amazing play, his best play was on special teams. That block, that was the most athletic thing you're ever going to see.
Incredible.
He completely cleared the guy, didn't touch him. That's why there was no flag. A guy his size to be able to do that, that was nuts. Man, he is a freak. But yeah, I'm going to go the other way, Raj. I like everything about Cleveland except the Deshaun situation. And You know, I've defended Seattle. I like the way Seattle's playing too. They, again, they're kind of a team that nothing jumps out at you, but they win. They play solid and they win. But yeah, I'm going to give Cleveland the slight edge to go on the road. And, you know, like kind of like last year, Seattle was a better road team than they were a home team, even though they have the 12th man. So I see a really interesting close. I think that 39-38 score was like fluky last week. And I see it more low scoring. Let's say it's something like 21-17 Cleveland.
All right. I like it. I like it, Senior. John, you got to break the tie.
Come on, Cleveland with a couple weeks ago with the 49er game was only because of some moody blues missing an easy field goal. And last week, some questionable officiating that kind of screwed the Colts. I'm sure you guys hate to see that. That's revenge for old Ursay. Crying about the Patriots. So Cleveland is very fortunate. You know, to say that PJ Walker's led them to the past two victories is stretching it a bit. But you know, he's kind of hit or miss. He makes his mistakes, and he didn't kill them. He keeps them in the game. But they've had all the breaks the last 2 weeks. I think that's going to catch up with them. I'm going with Seattle here, and the defense was kind of a surprise. And like Myles Garrett was hitting those home runs in the sacks, but they were also giving up, lots of chunks of yardage.
Big 75-yard touchdown with the multiple missed tackles there in the fourth.
Yeah, so, not just so much Garrett, but they're kind of going for the. The big sacks on every play, but not contained in the basic containment in the middle. So I think it's going to catch up to them and going for Seattle.
All right, and don't look now, but in the NFC North, the Lions. Pretty much looked like. Looked like they had the division wrapped up, but all of a sudden we have Minnesota without Justin Jefferson winning two games in a row, including an improbable victory against the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Very impressive. Cousins was like anything but primetime Kirk in that game. He was fantastic. So things are getting interesting quick in the NFC North. And this week we have Minnesota at Green Bay, and we have on Monday Night Football the Raiders at the Lions, and this is an important week. You'd think both the Vikings and the Lions need to hold serve here. I know Green Bay is also 3-4, but after that their last two performances, and then especially against the Broncos, to lose to a Broncos team that is arguably not really trying to win, but it was pretty ugly. To not be able to move the ball on that defense was pretty ugly. So let's start with Minnesota at Green Bay. They're the big home field advantage, of course, for the Packers. Minnesota, I think has figured some stuff out, and I think is just a much better team than Green Bay. So I'm going to pick the Vikings to go in there and get it done, Senior.
Yeah, ditto. They go into Lambeau Field, and the Packers suck. So, yeah, I agree with you, ditto. Vikings, better team, wins. Kirk gets it done.
John?
All right, go with the clean sweep. The Vikings' defense, very impressive under Flores. Bringing a lot of blitzes, and definitely not used to seeing such a tough Vikings defense, which kind of spurred them to that victory. And Cousins is going to be Cousins, solid even without Jefferson. Now it looks like they have a knack for finding those great receivers. Looks like Addison's going to be the next great receiver there. So I'm going to make it a clean sweep, which might mean. Bet on the Packers. They might be due for one. Although, yeah, Love's performance seems to be going down.
He's
definitely struggling.
Yeah, he looks like a rookie. Like he just hasn't had the reps. Like you could see, he's got some talent, but very, very uneven performances.
I wouldn't say he's a bust. You know, you see some things where you know, like in the next couple of years, he may.
Agreed. If they give it, they just have to. They have to stick with him. Yeah. But I think that Flores blitz defense is probably like exactly what the doctor did not order for Love, given the way he's playing. So clean sweep for the Vikings. So like John said, that almost guarantees a Packers victory. and then Vegas at Detroit. Vegas.
Oh, come on.
Not impressed with the Raiders. So the Vegas 3-4 and had won a couple of games in a row coming into this week. But like we already talked about, to get stomped by the Bears without Fields is tough. It's a tough look. And the Lions didn't even show up. Just a total, just vicious beatdown by Baltimore. And, you know, you could see Baltimore's defense giving the Lions a little bit of trouble. Without, especially without David Montgomery, who's been a key cog for that offense. But the Lions defense, which had been good for the year, was a massive sieve. I mean, it was just up and down the field with little to no resistance in a 38-6 loss. Senior, you've been high. You're high on the Lions. I'm sure you're still high on the Lions. I'm guessing maybe the bloom is off the rose a little bit, but do you think that's more of an aberration and they kind of get back to the winner's circle here against Vegas in Detroit on Monday Night Football? Because I think similar to Buffalo, a loss here by the Lions and this team that like some of us were thinking potential Super Bowl, definitely playoff. Now you're a little concerned.
You know, it was one game. That's the thing. And it could be, you know, you'll see teams go through a season and have a game or two here and there that it was kind of inexplicable if you watched it, because if you watched the Lions every week prior to that, they were playing really well because they were dominating where John talks about all the time, how you win football games. They were dominating in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Their offensive front and defenses front was beating people up, and they got dominated in the trenches on both sides of this game. I'm just going to say it's just one of those fluky, crazy games that started going downhill and just got away from you. And it just one of those games you're not going to be able to explain. I still think they're a good team. And the Raiders are a mess. You didn't talk about it yet, but that awful, awful interview with Davante Adams looking like the ultimate diva receiver and saying that, you know, he doesn't define things by wins and losses. It's by him showing greatness or some crazy thing, like kind of a ridiculous thing to say that you don't define yourself by wins and losses. And an interesting thing about it on last Sunday, I was watching the pregames dropping around, and I got to the one, I think it's CBS, and they were blasting him for it. And then the one guy that stood up for him and said, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think he's still concerned with winning. He's always talked about his individual stature and legacy that he wants to go down with the Randy Mosses and the Jerry Rices. And I don't think that's that bad a thing. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about winning. And so the guy that stuck up for him was Teddy Bruschi. And after he was done, Randy Moss said to him, now, Teddy, when I went over to the Patriots, you were one of the team captains. If I would have walked in there and I would have did an interview and said those things, would you have been okay with it? Because Bruschi had also said that no, he didn't hear anyone in the Raider locker room, anybody in the Raider building complain about what Adams said, that they were all okay with it. And Bruschi said, well, but you didn't do that. And then he said, oh, why did you have to put it like that to me, Randy? Of course, I would have had a big problem with it. You're right.
So Moss turned it around in the interview.
And he got him. Bruschi, you just got him. Yeah, of course, that would have been a problem with me. So, you know, the Raiders are a mess, and you don't need that. It seems to be that's the diva position, isn't it? Where it's these wide receivers that come out with these awful quotes, and that was a real bad one, so... Yeah, the Lions over the Raiders, big. I think Campbell really fires them up. I mean, he's got all kind of ammunition, and they come out and just wipe the floor with the Raiders.
All right, so John, Senior's got the Lions in a blowout. John.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm 100% on a lot of the things Senior said about the Lions, just a one-game aberration, and the Raiders are a disaster. Hoyer's playing, I mean, it looked like that O'Connell was a lot, you know, was a lot more effective when he played that one game over Hoyer. Hoyer, you know what you're going to get with Hoyer. It is. This is not going to be a much game. A couple of rough games Sunday night and Monday night. Looking like, or at least Sunday. Not Sunday. They're off Sunday, but Monday is be a good night to check in on the World Series by halftime.
Yeah. I think it'll be a little bit closer, but I like the Lions as well. I think you might get a desperation good first half out of the Raiders. 4:25 p.m. Cincinnati at San Francisco. Cincinnati coming off a needed bye. San Francisco hot off the presses. Brock Purdy concussed, which means, given what we've seen this year, almost certainly will not be playing this week. So it's going to be the Sam Darnold show in San Francisco as they try to avoid a 3-game losing streak against a certainly not a cakewalk of an opponent. Cincinnati seems to have figured some things out. So, John, what do you think of this game?
Well, the 49ers eating a little humble pie the last couple weeks. They made a huge mistake on go with a young kicker. You got Robbie Gould, and if you're a contender, you know, a Super Bowl contender, why change it? It's not like Gould was washed up. So to go for a kicking change when you realize that like a playoff game or a Super Bowl could come down to a kick and to switch to a you know, a rookie kicker, that's a big move, and it's already cost them one game, so that could cost them a home field advantage down the road. So that was a mistake right there, and it shows, just like everybody else, when the injuries start to pile up, especially the key players like Trent Williams and Debo, all of a sudden your quarterback isn't as dominant or even isn't as good. Purdy, we still got to see what he is. There's probably a reason why he was the last pick in the draft. So, and also probably a lot of overconfidence. They really rubbed it in when they beat the Cowboys, Kittle with the stupid shirt and all that. And even even when they beat the Giants, a couple of the defensive guys were making jokes about Jones, $40 million man. And that's a way you got to win with class. And also, I don't see any. I don't see any jewelry on the 49ers' hands. So they do a lot of talking. They're not exactly the Chiefs. They're not. They haven't racked up the Lombardis lately. Since Steve Young was their quarterback. So they need to calm down. And they're looking at their third loss in a row here. And I think it's gonna happen.
John, it sounds like you were not broken up by the 49ers losing this game on Monday night.
Yeah. Unfortunately, even though I prefer them over the Cowboys and the Eagles, but they've done a lot of things to rub me wrong. So yeah, I'm definitely going with Cincinnati this week.
All right, so John picking Cincinnati on the road, Senior.
Yeah, great matchup, interesting game. I think that the 49ers defensive front should be able to really get after Burrow. With the it's a matchup thing where that Cincinnati offensive line is going to have problems. I think when you talk about the Purdy thing, no Debo too on that offense, and the Cincinnati D's been playing better. The other thing I see, I'll go back to what John think about offensive lines. I think more important than Purdy playing or Debo playing is Trent Williams playing, and I believe he's looking like he is. So I don't think Donald might not be that much different than having Purdy play. I'm gonna say, not super high scoring. I'm gonna say 23-20, 49ers. The defensive front just gets more done.
gets after Burrow big time. And the Bengals have shown no running game. They haven't gotten Mixon going at all. Where the 49ers, if they have Williams, even with the other guys out, McCaffrey always gets something done. So I give the 49ers a slight edge in a close game. I just don't see them losing three games in a row either. So that's part of it.
All right, I'm going to give two words of analysis. Sam Darnold, Bengals.
Right.
I would pick the 49ers if Purdy was playing. Sam Darnold sucks. He's not a good quarterback. He was bad for the Panthers last year. He was bad for the Jets. He's especially bad in big spots. Whatever advantage the Niners defense gives them, I think is negated by having Darnold at quarterback. That will make the Bengals defense better than they are.
Purdy's been exposed too the last couple weeks.
I mean, like this game that Purdy just had, right? Which is not a good game for him, right? He threw a couple of picks at the end. Would be a phenomenal start for Darnold. If they got that from Darnold, Purdy was 21 for 30 for 272 yards with one touchdown and two interceptions. I would say zero chance Darnold puts up those kind of numbers. None.
Man, I guess you look at it as I just picked Sam Darnold to beat Joe Burrow. Seems insane, but you know, the quarterbacks aren't the only guys on the field.
Yeah, and John, I don't think Purdy, like the Purdy MVP talk, like that's I'm not there with that. But I think he's an average NFL quarterback that I think rises to above average because of he's a really good fit for this system, and you know, he's surrounded by great players. Sam Darnold is proven to be a guy that when he plays, if he's not the worst starter in the league, he's in the bottom two or three. It's true.
Fair enough.
So like, I mean, you got to think the game plan is going to be run, 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 and run some more. Is that enough to get it done against the? Probably enough to get it done against most teams, but the Bengals are an actual good team. So I can't, like in senior, you just said it. I can't, in good conscience, pick Sam Darnold to beat Joe Burrow. Especially Burrow coming off a bye. So 5-3 for the Niners. They're still going to make the playoffs. They're still probably going to win the division. In some ways, I agree with John. This might end out, you know, being a good thing for them in some ways to kind of eat a little shit now a little dose of humble pie to bring you back down to earth a little bit and refocus because. Yep. You know, like John said, you puffing your chest out in week four and week five is something losers do, right? And that's, you know, comes back to bite them sometimes. All right, so we're coming up on the hour here, so let's just run through some of these other games. Rams at Cowboys. Two teams. Rams, I think, are falling back down to earth a little bit. They didn't look great in the loss to the Steelers. They haven't looked great for a few weeks at Dallas. Dallas coming off the bye really spells Cowboys victory for me, and I think relatively comfortable. So I'm going Dallas. Senior.
Yeah, rested Cowboys at home should be good enough. Should definitely be good enough to take care of the Rams. So I'll second that.
Clean sweep, John.
Yeah, definitely. Not much analysis here. Cowboys coming off the bye and should win rather handily.
Atlanta at Tennessee. Tennessee going to be without Tannehill most likely. I said they're probably going to split reps between Levis and Malik Willis.
Oof.
So as bad as Ridder is, he will be the best quarterback in this game, which I think is probably the first, maybe the first and last time this season that we'll say that. If the Falcons have the advantage at quarterback, you can't pick them to lose. So even on the road, Atlanta, there is a world here where Vrabel pulls the rabbit out of the hat, and Henry, you know, they just don't throw and still win. So put that on the table, but I'll go with Atlanta. John.
I'm going to go with the Titans. I haven't seen Levis. So I heard it's him, which is good, cause I have seen Willis, and that would make your analysis perfect, you know, Ridder over Willis. But I haven't seen Levis, so, you know, I'll take a chance that Levis will be slightly better and will lead them to a victory. Titans are always tough at home, and this is the spot where you think the Titans are going to be buried, you know, if they go to 2-5, and then they always kind of pull something out of their ass. Vrabel always pulls something out, and, you know, manages to stay in the fight for his usual, you know, 8-9 or whatever. The season he's gonna come through here, so I look for him to pull it up.
Senior,
yeah, I'm gonna go with John on this. Tennessee is one of these poster child teams for that's really hard to figure out. And when you think right now, you think they're way down and they're gonna win a game, and then when you start expecting them to win, they lose. Them, the Commanders are kind of like that. There's a few of those teams in the league that you just. Whatever you see trending, it's going to go the other way. So I can see them beating Atlanta. I'll go with the home team.
All right. Another game between two middling teams. Seems like we have a lot of this. New Orleans at Indianapolis.
About 20 teams in the league are kind of.
This is one. This is one where it's like if you gamble on this game, it's time to go to rehab, because who the hell knows, honestly. I'll go with the home team, Indy. I don't feel confident in it at all. Senior.
Yeah, I'll go with Indy too. Number one, you flip a coin game, you go with the home team. I could just see them putting up a few more points than the Saints offense. So yeah, I'll go Indy. Jonathan Taylor back, getting rolling. In a garbage game that I don't know. I'm trying to think of something ridiculous to say that I'd watch over it, and I can't even come up with anything that bad.
I mean, they're not like horrible teams. It's just
not a real enticing game.
No,
to watch.
Minshew versus Carr.
Yeah.
The Colts haven't been as bad as we thought they were.
No, know, they're, no, they're not
three,
at all.
3-4, we figured they'd be like, you know, 1-6 or something. So, but the Saints have been a little worse than I figured. So
they have a good defense. Their defense didn't play great last week, but the Saints do have a good defense.
Yeah, I'll go with the Saints, even though the Colts got screwed last week. And, you know, usually teams that get screwed, they come out but I'm not going to make it a clean sweep in this one. I'll go with the Saints.
Pats at Miami.
Oof. Easy Dolphins. Yeah, easy Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins are definitely Dolphins, especially down there. My God. Yeah. I'll pick the track team over my guys.
Philly at Washington, which I know Washington gives them problems. But after watching Sam I Am rumble, stumble, and bumble the last few weeks, I can't in good conscience pick this Washington team to beat anybody, much less Philly. So Philly in a game that'll probably be closer than it should be. John.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. They played them tough. They beat them last year, and they should have beat them that first game. They took them to overtime. And I liked Jonathan Allen, his fire after the game, where he was very frustrated with the Commanders, but it's looking like the last year for old Riverboat Ron. But I think they put up a fight, but lose by a field goal.
All right, and then Houston at the Panthers. I'm flying into North Carolina Sunday morning. I'm considering making the drive and going to this. We'll see.
Beautiful stadium.
You basically can get in for free too, which is nice. So Houston,
it's gonna be nice weather. Yeah, you should go.
Houston at Carolina. Houston, better team. Carolina actively. I don't know. I guess they're gonna have to win at one point or another. This could be it. But I will go. I will go Houston.
Yep. Battle of the top two picks. And the number two pick's playing better than the number one pick. part of it is he has a better team around him, no doubt about it. But yeah, I'll go with CJ Stroud and the Texans.
John,
oh, wow. Bryce.
Yeah, the Panthers, even at 0-6, they're not horrible, and they're due for one. I think the Panthers are due here to get their first one, and the Texans have been playing a little over their head, so they're bound to drop them.
Perfectly reasonable pick, John. All right, and then from Mile High.
Ugh. Come on.
For the second time in 3 weeks, Patrick Mahomes versus Russell Wilson and the Battle of Hall of Famers, Kansas City at Denver. I'm going to go Chiefs by, let's call it 26, senior.
Chiefs.
John.
I mean, you guys, not even worth talking about.
Right? Exactly. But doesn't this, yeah, I mean, you guys should know more than anybody. Does this remind you of the 2000s where the other three teams outside the Patriots were just bumbling and stumbling all over themselves for like 10 years. And that's what the West has become with the Broncos, Raiders, and I can't even remember.
Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers. Just three blind mice just bumbling all over themselves while the Chiefs just, sit back and laugh. And win every division game.
And it's a very similar, and these other teams are paying big dollars for big players, and every year it's, oh, this is going to be the year, and then they're the Chiefs with a 4-game lead 8 games into the season.
last season going into the year, there were a lot of the big prognosticators
right.
that picked the Chiefs for last place in the division.
Yep, because they got rid of Tyreek. Yeah,
and they end up winning the Super Bowl. But the scary part about how the Chiefs are going this year is that their offense hasn't really, really gotten cranking.
They call it class. Their offense played real good this week, but the Chargers defense.
Now they're going against the Denver defense. Okay, but their calling card has been more their defense. The Chiefs defense has been real good. So that's extremely scary for the not only that division, but for the rest of the NFL.
All right, and then last and potentially least, we have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens traveling to Arizona to face the Cardinals. The Ravens put it to the Lions this week that we talked about. I'm going to go with the upset here, and you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to go with the upset. Arizona, John, I don't have strong analysis behind that other than just a gut feeling. Cardinals.
Wow, just a gut feeling. Nah, I think the Ravens are starting to ramp it up. They struggled early, and they played just about a perfect game last week, and then they're going to keep it rolling here versus the Cardinals. I saw a report that Kyler's cleared for practice. And
Week 10, they said he's going to play Week 10.
Oh, okay, Week 10. Okay.
So, yeah, they're bringing him along slowly, but he's going to play Week 10. So it'll be Dobbs this week.
All right, well, I'm going with the Ravens.
Much to my chagrin, I have to honestly pick the Ravens. I hope those Arizona boys bring the upset, but it's really hard to see it.
So it is.
I hope the Ravens, maybe played so good last week that they come crashing down this week. That would be sweet.
That's part of the rationale, senior, is the way this NFL season has been. It seems like you said it with the 49ers, right? Like they looked like the best team in NFL history and then lost to PJ Walker the next week.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. Yeah, I hope so, but I don't see it, but I wouldn't have seen that either. And I wouldn't have seen the Patriots, Giants, Bears, and Broncos all winning the same week.
Exactly.
That's like Armageddon. So.
And then, you guys brought up the Mayfield for MVP thing, and like they say, shoot or shoot. So here we are.
There you go.
Big Red. All right. So it's going to be a great week. 16 games, which is great when that happens. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully we get a clean sweep again not the Broncos. We don't like the Broncos, but if we can get Bears, Giants, and Patriots victories again, it's going to be an even happier show next week. We are here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. Lots of great content. I personally do one other show. It's called Talkin' Docs. We recorded last night and should be released soon if it hasn't been released yet. We took a look at the 2020 Oscar-winning documentary, My Octopus Teacher. So it was myself, Jennifer, and Logan. It was fantastic. John?
There's a great Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer and Keithy Langston. They're doing a new movie, Totally Killer. So check that out. Those two are always entertaining.
All right, and Senior, you're a one-trick pony. You only come on this one show, so I know you don't have anything to plug. Did you have anything you wanted to say before we left, though?
No. You guys got to get everything I got. I have nothing left after this. I couldn't do another show.
Yes. Yes, you pour your heart and soul into it, and we appreciate that. All right, so for Senior and for John, I'm the Cowboy. Enjoy the games this week, and your three-man booth will be back next week. So over and out.
Let's ride.
Let's ride!